We're going to turn our attention to the reading of God's precious word as we can find it in Joshua 1. And there we also see how important the word of God is and his law. Joshua 1, the entire chapter, we read together. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them, then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. Whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever shall be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, children, young people, fierce. We're going to talk about fears this morning. The question is, who doesn't have fears? Who doesn't have fears? Ask people and they will tell you about it. I'm afraid of children, maybe you can relate to that, spiders, heights, small or large or locked rooms, thunder, flying in an airplane, And we might add a multitude of those kind of fears to it. And they are comparatively minor fears, aren't they? And we can talk a little longer and probe a little deeper, and we come across more serious fears. Death. Financial trouble. Cancer. Life turning out in a way that is completely unexpected. Different. Being lonely, perhaps. No meaning. Is my life going to count? Is there going to be impact through my life? Rejection. Loss. My job, my family, my friends, my loved ones, spouse, my mind, my health, my hair, my purpose. And for some, faith. People. We're afraid of people. Afraid of this world where there's so many things unexpected, and maybe even we find it a scary world. Now, most of us are not so quick to talk about the real deep fears that are in us. We rather hide them. And yet, they are influencing us all the time, our thinking. Especially men, we know we have to be strong and leaders, and we tend to hide them. And yet, they influence us a lot, and they say a lot about what we do and what we say. What does the Bible say about fears? What is the real problem when we fear? How should we respond to such fears? That's what we are going to study this morning from the chapter that we read together. Come with me and let's listen to what God says to Joshua. Our text is taken from Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Our theme is from scared to prepared. Scared, first of all, we consider Joshua's situation, and we'll find out that there would be many things that he could have been very, very afraid of. Scared, even. And then prepared. But the Lord wants Joshua not to be scared. He wants him to succeed, to prosper. And how? Let's consider that secondly. If anyone had a good reason to be scared, it was Joshua. There was death. Chapter begins with it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 begins with these words, "Now after the death of Moses." Here, a servant of God died, but God didn't die, because God speaks to Joshua after a death. Let's think about it for a moment, and we meet one of the things that many people fear: death, bereavement, sickness, illness, this uncertainty for many. Now, Joshua was called to be the next leader here. Moses' death meant that now he should lead. And the task was great. He could easily be scared with the task that was ahead of him. There might be at least some nervousness gone through Joshua at this time. What a task he was being called to. Leading a people of 2 or 2.5 million people to the promised land. And then facing a battle. They returned, those spies, 40 years ago, and they had seen it with their own eyes, what happened in that land. There were giant people, there were giant walls, and 10 of the spies said that it's impossible. And Caleb said, and Joshua said, with God, all things possible. So Joshua didn't have a track record of fear. Not at all. No, Joshua was not scared. He looked higher. He looked to the Lord. And yet God gives him these instructions this morning. Instructions not to fear. How much more do we need them? Now, if Joshua wasn't afraid for the battle ahead, which seems he wasn't, how about leading the people? For 40 years, he had been observing the people, and he had seen what they had done. They went in circles through the wilderness, not just literally, because God was leading them there, because of their disobedience. They went in circles spiritually, unbelief, idolatry, murmuring, immorality, all those things. That's a task, to lead people like that, for Joshua. And many of us are scared when we think about all the social pressures that come, the expectations. We're scared by social pressure. Children, young people, are you able to relate to that? Joshua could have looked to Moses and seen how often he came to the end of his wits. Even so that God didn't allow him to go into the promised land. Yes, in that greater promised land, he went there, definitely, but not in the physical promised land. Why? Because he was fed up. He was not listening. How often do we worry about the pressures, what other people think, whether your peers accept you? How often are we really afraid what other people might think and their responses? The fear of man is such an ugly thing. It's a snare. It might be helpful to know, young people, that older people can also struggle with those things. They also need to fight the same battle, social pressure. Joshua could have easily be intimidated by it. Now, what about if you are in his shoes and you had to provide for such a huge crowd? 40 years he had to look back to of faithfulness of the Lord. Yes, absolutely. But how many of us in the same situation as Joshua would be overwhelmed if we have to meet the needs of just a few, maybe only your own family? Here, 2 or 2.5 million people. It's easy to be scared, isn't it? And talking about those physical needs, but what about those spiritual needs that each one of them has? His desires must have been that all of them, as your consistory and us pastors is the desire, and as you as fathers and mothers have a desire for your family, that we would all fear the Lord and serve the Lord with all of our heart. And not go astray in idolatry, in our sins, in deceitful lusts that hurt us. That's our desire. What a task to lead and to go without being fearful, but rather with trust in the Lord. What a task he had. When you look at people around you, maybe your own family, and you fear what is going to become of them. When you see your child maybe pushing for worldliness rather than for faithfulness to the Scriptures or for their own desires, and you as parents fear. They don't realize that their sins make them, and their worldliness make them weak, and ultimately will lead them to fear as well. Such fears also Paul could relate to. He came to the Galatians and he wrote a letter with urgency and with a godly kind of fear. And he says, I'm in doubt of you. Are you turning to a different gospel? That's a legitimate fear there. If you struggle with such fears, but may you not pray in ways that show that you have no trust in the Lord or in His power and His might, but in that you have indeed trust in Him who is able to do far exceeding abundantly above what we can think and pray for. And then the fears of just living in a fallen world, a world that is infested by sin and is infested by suffering. That brings its own fears. And that makes life difficult. That makes leadership difficult. And if you are called to leadership in some capacity, you know about that. I don't know what you come away with when you listen to the news or social media, or when you are scrolling young people through your account and you see all those things. There's so many things that are written from a standpoint of fear rather than of faith in this world. Also your news sources. I can't trust this. I need to stand up for myself. And this world is just chaos. And you should fear. You should trust yourself. And go for yourself. There is no God. These kind of things might go through your mind. So in this situation, in which Joshua easily could have been infested with all kinds of fears, the death, the future battle, the social pressures, the provision that he had to provide, the spiritual responsibility, and then a world in which we have sin and in which we have to deal with suffering. Humanly speaking, he had good reasons to be fearful. It wouldn't have been strange if Joshua said, I'm out of it, out of my wits. How can I do this? But we know that Joshua didn't have a track record of fearfulness. He might have had some fears, we don't know. But the Lord speaks these words. And our text begins with these words: Have I not commanded thee? God comes to him, he speaks to him. Have I not commanded thee? And indeed, Joshua was called to this task, and he knew that, and that defined who he was and what he did and what he said. He was called to this task, and he was commanded by the Lord, and the Lord had equipped him, because Deuteronomy 34 verse 9 says that we read that Joshua was a man full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the people listened to him. And we see it also in the rest of the chapter, that when he speaks, they say, we will follow, we will obey, and the people are listening to him as a leader. But that's not what this little phrase is referring to. Have I not commanded thee? God had indeed commanded him, commissioned him, and tasked him. But this command is speaking about something that is very important, and it's repeated in our chapter three times. What is it? It's really, when something is repeated in the Bible, we better sit up and listen. And that's what is happening here in our text. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Then our text, verse 8, positively it says, be strong and of good courage. Negatively it says, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. So this is very important. God is saying to Joshua, I ask your full commitment in being strong and doing what you're called to do. Only be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Who is the I? Who is the I to you, to me? Are we fearful? Who is God then for you? What does it say about God when we are fearful? He is our creator. He is Joshua's creator. He sustains our life from the very start to the very end. He's Joshua's redeemer. Is he your redeemer? Do you trust him? Saves from sin, from destruction, from oppression. Keeps you alive. Leads you out of the house of Egypt or house of sin. Provides 40 years through the wilderness. How long has he been providing for you now? I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I rule the world. I hold it in my hand. I call you to do what you need to do. I keep my promises. And that Lord has not changed this morning. That Lord is still the same this morning. And he says to us as well, are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Have I not commanded you? I may command you because I am the ruler of this world and you have to listen. I am the one and only authority, the almighty ruler who rules your lives. Listen to me. I may command you. I sustain your life. Let's listen a little more deeply to this command, a little more closely. Be strong and of good courage, our text says. In other words, the Lord is saying to Joshua, it's easy for you to just look around and be overwhelmed with everything that is scary to you. With the task that I have given to you. Responsibilities, uncertainties, pressures, enemies, obstacles, adversities. Yet I call you to not allow them to overwhelm you. Joshua, you need to lead with courage. And how is there an application for each father, each man here to lead our families with courage, to lead our wives with love, and not allow them to usurp that leadership, which is easy since the fall. Feminism is alive and well in this world. How about our church? Men who don't lead, what is the reason? Is there a sin? Is there a sin? Is there pornography? Is there alcohol? Is there fear of man? Are there video games? Or is there some baseball game that is more interesting than the scriptures? Sin makes us weak. Makes us very, very weak. And we don't want to stand up. God calls to fearlessness. Especially for men, especially for fathers, so that we face difficult situations with courage. Tough circumstances. Now, how do you fight when you are fearful, when you are trapped in something? We can easily say, okay, well, don't fear. But when our fears hit us, they are often not logical, and most of the time not. We can say, okay, well, I need to distract myself from something because I'm fearful. But is that the solution? I don't think so. Our text says, be strong. That means don't retreat, don't hide, don't, when you see danger coming, run away from it. Don't be silent when God is dishonored. Don't be timid when you're under attack. No, God calls Joshua and us and me and you, each one of us, to be strong in the faith, to be committed to the truth of God, to have strong convictions about the truth of God's word, strong in the things of God and the Lord, in our theology, in our thinking, in our doctrine, in our Christian walk, strong in our desire for true holiness. That's what we are called to. And the Lord adds in our text the other side as well, for emphasis. Don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed. Don't panic. Don't be scared. Neither be dismayed. That means don't be discouraged. Don't let these anxious thoughts that can so easily creep into our minds dominate the way we think. And don't let them cripple you. Don't let all the circumstances that you look at make you cower. And fear comes to us naturally after the fall. The fear makes cowards of us. The fall, before the fall, we had this wonderful, healthy fear of God. Children, you are going to hear a whole year about it at school. The healthy fear of the God, a joyful reverence, and awe. But then, Adam and Eve fell, and they are hiding. Behind a bush, fearful. Where are you, Adam? What did Adam say? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. Adam was infested with a slavish fear of God that naturally fills all of our hearts by nature. We don't trust God. We don't trust even when He is graciously calling for us. Through the word, through the preaching. We don't trust Him when He daily loads us with all kinds of things and cares for our lives, and still we don't trust Him. And then we have that ugly fear of man and the fear of circumstances, a fear that people might do something against us. And maybe some of you have been badly hurt in the past, I don't know. I think there are some. And then this fear is even stronger because you think you need to protect yourself from something scary, something upsetting. And that's why God comes to us and He calls us this morning. Don't fear. He commands us. Trust me. Trust me, I'm good, I'm gracious. You can trust me. And that's why God comes to us with this command, particularly 300 times or more in the scriptures. Don't fear, don't be afraid. 300 times. And I didn't count how many times there is. Be strong in the Lord, be courageous. And this morning to Joshua, don't be afraid, Joshua. Don't be afraid. What happens when you start listening to your fears? What are you going to hear? Because they are shouting into your minds, into your heart, and my heart. Most of the time we don't listen to it because we are fearful and we run away. We want to run away. We want to hide. But our fear is saying something. It's saying life is dangerous. Life is dangerous and you need to keep control because your dreams can collapse in a moment. It tells you and me, you want something and you might not even get it. It's related to anger. Anger says, fight. Fear says, flee. Most of our fears tell us life is more dangerous than you and I can handle. You and I are weak. We are not in control, life is out of control, and now when you and I can point to what is it exactly that I'm fearful of, and we can say, okay, that's fire, that's it, or spiders, or something else. That's what we call fear. But there's often this fear that creeps over us, and we don't know what it is. It's called anxiety. So then, what is our problem when we are fearful? Is it that we feel vulnerable and weak for some danger, imagined or real? That's often how we feel. But is that the problem? Is the problem that we are out of control, that we want to be in control, and that we want the situation to go our way, and that right now, that's often how we feel? But when we are listening to what fear is really saying, what is it saying? Often our fear is saying, God is far away. God is far away. And God is not powerful. People are powerful. Situations are scary, big. And I feel tiny. I know it. And I hate it. I'm lonely. I'm out of control. So what do we hear? We hear this desire, which is a legitimate desire, the voice of self-protection. Wondering, how can I keep myself safe? Now, that's not a wrong question to ask, right? And we hear the voice of independence. That is a little more problematic. Or control. I want to control this the way I want this. And here's the bottom line, the difficult thing, the sinful thing. It's unbelief and distrust. Because we are really wondering, where is God now? Where's God? I'm all alone. All alone. That's what fear is saying to us. And then the Lord says to us this morning, be not afraid. Neither be dismayed. And you wonder, how? How? We're going to look at that after we sing, but we first turn our eyes not to ourselves. No, not to ourselves. We turn our eyes to the Lord Jesus before we sing. He also experienced fear, sinless fear. Listen to this for a moment. John 12, verse 27. It was at the evening of his suffering. He was looking up against his suffering. And what did he say? Now my soul is troubled. He knows what fear is. He's that great high priest who can have compassion with our sufferings. There was turmoil in Jesus' holy soul. Turmoil at the prospect of that suffering. His soul was stirred at the prospect of pain and adversity and difficulty. And this greater Joshua, who will lead his people to the promised land, was about to fight a battle for us. It was the battle of death, of sin, of hell, and of the devil. For sin is like us. He was awaiting the cross. Beyond the Jordan of suffering of death lies for him also the promised land. And what does he say in John 12, verse 27? He says, and what shall I say when he is so stirred in his emotions? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. I'm meeting the most challenging time of my life. Should I run away? He's asking. Should I turn back? He didn't. He sets his face like a flint to Jerusalem. Oh, what a blessed Savior. He can truly, truly help us in our fears. He knows what they are. Fear of death. He can make us strong in his grace. Look at him crawling through Gethsemane. The gospel writers take the words of the strongest emotions about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in agony. He was sorrowful, sore amazed, heavy, very heavy. In other words, he was distressed to the breaking point. He had holy dread. He was horrified. That's who our Savior was in Gethsemane. Fear, absolutely, that's fear. Fear that expressed itself so deeply that even his physical being was trembling and was giving great drops of blood. He was fearing a bitter taste of hell. Psalm 116 verse 3 says, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found sorrow and trouble." This is the Savior. He knows what fear is. He knows your fears. And his fear is so strong, was so strong at that moment particularly, that God sent, his Father sends him angels to strengthen him. How terrible that must have been, that fear. That's how deeply troubled he was. Why? So that he can deliver us from our self-focused fears. Sinful fears, unbelieving fears, false fears, deceitful fears. To make us what? What we are not by nature, strong in the Lord. From scared to prepared. Often the most important truths of the Scripture hinge on little words in the Bible. And so in our text. "Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for..." It gives us a very clear reason why this is possible, not to fear. And then the context supplies us with resources that can help us not to be fearful. First, what is the main reason we should not be afraid and we can be called to this strength? "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." So we saw what the problem was, right? Often we feel lonely. I'm alone in this, and I'm scared. That's fear. And God's answer is, if you trust my promises, you're not scared. You're not alone. You're not alone. That's God's answer. And so the Lord tells us, be strong and courageous, don't fear, don't be discouraged, because the Lord, covenant-keeping God, who's gracious and merciful and long-suffering, thy God, your God, who can do all things, almighty, all-powerful, all-wise, is with you. The Lord your God, the sovereign Lord. The Lord who rules the universe. Nothing escapes his attention in your and my life. He is with you. Why are you afraid, Joshua? Why are you and I afraid? When we have such promises. And this promise shows the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest, it says. So all the time, wherever you go. It's not just here a minute and there a minute. No, all the time. Always. That's the remedy that God gives us. Trust me. I'm with you. I come with you, and I can come close to you because of Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross. Therefore, I can favor you and be with you and for you. If God gave his only begotten Son and spared not him, how shall he not with him, give us freely all thanks. I'm with you. If we understand this, grasp this, by faith embrace it, and with the power of the Spirit, we can be fearless and courageous. Many of you might struggle with this question, how do I really know that God is with me? How do I really know that He is for me and not against me? We know it by saving faith. It's the faith that rests in the Word of God and says, the Lord says so, so I can trust Him. He showed His faithful record of faithfulness for years. Shall I distrust this good and gracious God? And when you see things that make you weak, such as sins in your lives, what hinders your spiritual life, you come and bring it and say, Lord, please take it away. It's sinful. It's dishonoring. Take it away. And you grasp through that new promise, I'm with you wherever you go. And you rest there. We turn our eyes to the Savior who died even to procure these promises, who rose again, who sits at the right hand of God on high. What did he fear in Gethsemane? Don't you think it was forsakenness? The forsakenness that he was going to face? I'm all alone. And if there's ever anyone who could say that, he could say that. I'm all alone. The face of my beloved Father is not shining over me. And yet he said, I will fight this sin. I will fight sin completely, entirely. I will allow myself to be enveloped with fear and forsakenness and darkness and hell. Crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He can say it truly. And that's why he can say to us and hand out that promise to us and to Joshua at the end of verse 5, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And the book of Hebrews picks this up. For all those who are in Christ Jesus and God's people who can say that, therefore, believingly, he will never leave me nor forsake me. And therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Christ was forsaken by his Father, given into the hands of sinful man, experiencing that loneliness of hell. That was a truly fearful thing. Who basked from eternity in the presence of his Father and in a blessed favor of his Father. That was sinless fear. How about our fears? What are they all about? Can you say, these are the things that I fear too? Losing his favor through my sins, through my cowardice, because I run from him. Have you confessed to be a believer here? Are you guarding this relationship? Is the worst thing that you can feel is detached from him, far from him? That's a healthy fear. But think about this. He says to you this morning, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Do you take him at his words? I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And do you say, Amen, Lord. Amen. I will trust. because that honors God. And that's how he learns and teaches us to be courageous through the power of his Holy Spirit. That's the remedy. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm for you. Look at Jesus Christ. And then he gives us more than that. With all the things that Joshua was going to encounter, all the uncertainties, what does God give him? More counsel. How can he fight his fears? And the answer is deceptively simple. It's the Word of God. That's it. That's it. The Word of God. Promises. Verses 2 through 6. Every place your feet will go, I've given unto you. The Lord says, I've given it. Verse 3. Verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, Joshua. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Another promise. Another promise, verse 6. For unto this people will I divide the inheritance I swore to give to your fathers. Promises. So in order to be strong and courageous and not afraid, in order to experience God's very own presence and nearness, what do we learn here? God says to Joshua, the Word. That's it. Fight your fears by trusting and knowing God's Word and promises. First of all, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Observe the law. That's the whole five books of Moses in his time, but especially those promises that are repeated here. For us, that's the whole world. Keep whole word. Keep my word. Know my word. Live according to my word. Nothing but the word of God. And the Lord adds in verse 7, don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. What are we turning to? Left? Right? How should I live? This book, how to do this. 10 steps. YouTube. Social media. People. What might they say? We turn there. Therapies. Trust them. God says, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Come to my word. Avoid the wisdom of this world. Avoid worldliness. Because that will drive you further away from me, because I have to leave you then. And a fear will come into your life. That's what the world is full of. Fear. Live according to my word. Second, fight fear by speaking my word and promises. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Not just know it, but speak it wherever you are, whatever you do. Talk to other people. Talk to children. Don't be afraid. Talk to your friends, young people, about the word of God. Talk to your neighbors. Whatever they might say about you. It's far more important what God says about you. Saturate your conversations with the Word of God. Think God's Word. Speak God's Word. And in order to think and speak God's Word, what do we need to know? Here, third thing, God says, be strong, fight your fears by meditating on God's Word. Verse 8, middle of verse 8. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. We can't speak it if we don't know it and if we don't think about it, if we don't saturate our minds with the Scriptures. We sang Psalm 1. You are to be a Psalm 1 Christian, meditating, taking the Word apart, often pondering. What does that mean now in this situation? Speak about it together. Meditate together. Bible studies are going to start again. Be part of it. Make you strong. That will make you strong. Meditating. 4. If you want to be a strong and fearless Christian, you and I need to obey the Word of God. Verse 8 says so. Verse 7 said it already. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. We can be fearless when we are not really listening, when we are just glancing over the Word of God. And we don't take it in. We are to obey the Word of God. And obedience is a hated word in our society. Because obedience shows I need wisdom from someone else and somewhere else. I need to humble myself. I need to follow the Lord when what He says. Obedience is old-fashioned according to our world and society. But God says, no, it's not old-fashioned. I come with authority. I want you to follow. Our world is working hard to undermine obedience and authority and leadership and manhood at all places. And what else do we get? We get opinions of this one. But I think. Yes, do you think God's thought after him? That's the question. We can't blame the world for not listening to God. We should blame the church for not listening to God and therefore not being a salt and a light. What is the result of that worldly wisdom kind of idea? Fear, guilt, anxiety, worry, depression, and all that. Dysfunctional emotions. And when we focus on God, His promises, His wisdom, His love, His presence, God tells us that we will be like a tree nourished by the waters. We will be green trees bearing fruit. Do we trust Him? Do we trust His wisdom? And I'm not coming down on those who struggle. Absolutely not. That's not what I want to. If you struggle, if you feel a failure, if you say my life is dominated by fear, your hope needs to be in Christ alone. Look to Jesus Christ. He obeyed perfectly. Listen to what He did every morning. Morning by morning, He wakes my ear to hear as the learned. He was learning. He was learning every morning. The Lord has opened mine ear. He was listening. What is the result? I was not rebellious. The fear of the Lord. Neither turned away back. I knew what I had to do, what my mission was in life, and it was clear. What was his mission? I gave my back to the smiters. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Why? The Lord will help me. Isaiah 50. Who is it that shall condemn me? That's courage. That's fearless. And that's why his mouth was overflowing with scriptures. I said it. His doctrine was so different than that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It overflowed with the scriptures. Because morning by morning, he bathed his soul in the Word of God and meditated on it and spoke it and lived it and loved it. And it helped him in suffering and obedience unto death. Should we then not love the Word and bathe our soul in it and find him in it? and love Him in it. And His promises. And His promises, I'm with you. Don't you think it makes you strong as well? Don't you think that prepares you for the mission that God has prepared for you? In the good works that He wants you to walk in, prepared beforehand? Let's conclude with a few applications. There are some here who say, my soul is full of slavish fear. Slavish fear. I don't trust the Lord. I don't trust His grace. I don't trust others. I don't trust His word. You're full of unbelief. And that needs to change. That really needs to change. Because here, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So in love I say, wake up. Cry out. Repent. And say, Lord, fill me with the glorious fear of the Lord. He reveals Himself still as one who is merciful. Tonight we hope to hear about the offer of the gospel in all its beauty from Isaiah 55. Come unto me. Listen to my word. And your soul shall live. I wipe out all your sins. Look to my Son. He can drive them away. If you have Christ, God is with you. God is with you. And when God is for you, who shall be against you? That will make you strong and courageous. And there's some who might struggle because you don't know. You've had times where the Lord seems to be very, very close to you and comforted you, and now it's maybe clouded and you're beset by many fears. You say, Lord, what should I do? Don't look to remedies outside the Scriptures as if they are the ones who fix you. God needs to come and reveal Himself with power and might to you again and say, here am I. You're not alone. I'm with you through His word. That's what He does through the preaching. That's what He does when you open the word. He's with you. And I say it with compassion and straightforward. Let this verse sink into your heart and mind. And let it sink in such a way that it empowers you. Fear not, I am with you. Embrace. Look to Christ, to His forsakenness. Meditate, trust, rest in the Lord. And because of your fears, don't stay away from church. Don't stay away from church. Here's where the Lord wants to help you. To strengthen you, to put steel into your bones through the Word of God. And we start a new school year, a new season of ministry, house visits, youth group, school, teachers. Maybe some of your teachers are fearful a little, looking up against it. How can I do it? Let each teacher, each office bearer, each one who is going to be involved with the church plans as well, look to the Lord. Let this word penetrate our souls, penetrate our hearts. Let us obey it, meditate on it, speak it to one another. Because here's the promise: for then thou wilt have good success. If we are going to trust worldly ideas, it's not going to be successful. Like Joshua, you will have good success when you are strong in the Lord. Good success doesn't mean successful life without any troubles, but it means success in your walk with the Lord, in experiencing that God is near. And for each one of us, take a last glimpse at the greater Joshua, who has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Where is he going to take you? Maybe we don't know for tomorrow and don't know for your next year. Don't know how long we will live. But if you are in Christ, you know where he's going to take you. "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will guide you all the way to the promised land. I will not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He guides you all the way to the promised land. He fought the greatest battle for you. Will he not fight all the battles that you are going to face tomorrow, this year, rest of this year, next year, if the Lord gives us life and strength? Will he not? He will bring you into the inheritance of heavenly Canaan. This is the promise of the glorious Joshua, the greater Joshua, Jesus. "Fear not, little flock." Do you feel small? Do you feel weak? That's fine. He knows. "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure." He rejoices to do what? To give you the kingdom. To give it to you. To give you an entrance, abundant entrance, in the promised land. Heaven. Amen.